For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
The following program is presented by the HTM Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Turnbuckle Talk in partnership with thechairshot.com, presented by the Hitting the Marks Podcast Network and in association with ndpw.com. Turnbuckle Talk is sponsored by collarandelbowbrand.com, where you get 10% off when using promo code JKPodcast. Turnbuckle Talk is also partnered with Phoenix at fnxfit.com, where you get 15% off all your health supplements simply by using promo code TBTalkPod. Follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at TBTalkPod. Listen on Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere you catch your favorite programs. And now, pro wrestling fanatics, are you ready? Here are your hosts, Big Joe and Carl Carafell.
Hey guys, Big Joe and Carl Carafell back here on Turnbuckle Talk on a Big Joe COVID-19 free episode. Finally, after waiting and waiting, I guess shortly after we recorded, I guess last week, I'm kind of losing track of the days, but finally got the results back and I was able to go back to work and COVID free. So some good stuff there.
That's right. Episode 188. People, we are nearing that 200 mark. Special stuff that we've got kind of going and planned for the 200 mark. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be something great. We're so thankful for everybody that continues to pop in every week and watch the program with us. So thank you very much for that. As you heard as well, our intro, thank you to Richard Bronson Vickery as well. He did an amazing job with that intro for us. And if any of you have anything that you want to promote and you want to do our intro for us, get a hold of me. We will set things up so that you can record an intro for us, and we will make sure that your stuff gets plugged as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got some work ahead of you because Rick does a really, really good job with that. So, if you, like Carl says, if you got one, feel free to send to us for sure. We'll make sure to get it out there. Now, before we get to the wrestling discussion, though, just for yourself, Carl, how's your last kind of week been going outside professional wrestling?
Same as always, just work. Lots of work happening, lots of work coming in. Shifts have actually had to be extended for us because we're getting more work,
right.
Which, I mean, is a good thing and a bad thing at the same time, but I'm okay with it. You know, instead of doing 8-hour shifts, we're now going to be doing 10-hour shifts on our mobile because we have that much work. So it's fantastic that we continue to get more clients and more work coming in for that. So yeah, I mean, that's about it. Lots more work.
Yeah, things have been pretty busy with my day job as well. And throughout this whole thing, as I've kind of said before, for those listening the first time, you know, I do, you know, obviously, you know, Carl and I do work outside of the podcast here. And throughout COVID-19, for both of us, it's been pretty much business as usual when it comes to work, which has been a little trying and stressful at the time, at the same time, but also, you know, being able to work throughout this entire thing, something not everybody has had the luxury of. So grateful in that sense.
Very much so.
All right, man. Well, another week has come and gone in the world of professional wrestling, dusting off kind of the old little intro that I used to do. To kind of start things off here, guys, for quite a while now, I've lost track of how long, you know, we've been partnering up with the HTM Podcast Network. And as we stated, especially on our last episode, you know, it's just been an absolute pleasure and an honor working with Rick and Jargo over there at the HTM Network. And if you have been paying attention over there, you'll notice that our friend Jargo and the Destino Podcast have been out of action for a while. And this is due to essentially a hurricane going through the area, guys, through Iowa. It was a pretty massive storm, obviously, to kind of go over land. You know, typically hurricanes, you know, build strength of water and then they kind of die over land. This thing kind of intensified going through the area, and he was without internet and power, even water, for a period of time.
For quite a while, he was. Yeah, I mean, unbelievably a long amount of time. yeah, I mean, just unbelievable that, you know, a storm could just roll through and create so much havoc on everything.
Yep.
And it's it wasn't just, you know, internet went out or something like that, but like absolutely everything was affected by this. Just crazy.
And then in the same area, his sister and their family, you know, husband and five kids, you know, they lost power and everything like everybody else. And then from what I've heard and been told, to the best of my memory here, I guess when the power came back on, they actually started a fire and burnt their house down. And a GoFundMe was done to kind of help them out, and it was fully funded. And then some. Some pretty incredible nice there. And on behalf of Jargo, just to thank everybody for the outpouring of love and affection there as well. And just and during Jargo's time off, just the people that have been like, dude, you know, we want you back, you know. So not only back with Destino, the Hitting the Marks podcast is going to be returning to the flagship show of the HTM Network. Is going to be coming back, not necessarily a professional wrestling thing. They are working on something pretty cool. If you pay attention to Jargo's Facebook feed, you'll kind of get an idea of what direction they're going. It's going to be really cool, man. I'm looking forward to that.
It definitely is. Every time that Jargo posts that that thing that he's been doing daily, I love it. I love just reading through what he's put out there. So if they're going to put that into a podcast form, even better. I am super happy with that.
Yeah, for sure, man. And, you know, part of that network, I also watch and listen to the show as well. You know, especially working my day job, or in my case, a night job. This kind of stuff helps me keep me sane. You know, I'll download onto my device, and I get to, fortunately, I get to listen to stuff while I'm working, and offers a nice distraction while I'm working, but just to kind of make it less monotonous and to kind of have something to kind of keep the mind active while we're doing our menial jobs, more or less.
Oh, yeah.
So
totally understandable.
So, yeah, man, that's kind of just an update on him. And along with that, coming up this week, you know, we've already had one return episode of Destino, but the second episode coming back here, your very own Big Joe is going to be co-host on that show. We're going to go through and really kind of delve into the G1 over the New Japan side of things. That's what Jargo specializes in there as well. And especially if you like women's Japanese wrestling, Stardom, he covers that on a regular basis too. That's another thing too. Nice. You know, New Japan, I've been kind of singing their praises lately. Stardom has also been fantastic, Carl, and our viewers, make sure and check that out if you have the opportunity. You will not be disappointed.
Stardom has never lost its shine. Stardom has just always been very much so a constant in good professional wrestling.
It really
so,
has been.
Yeah, and with it being female based, like that's even more fantastic. Those girls can go just as well as the guys.
Absolutely, if not better than some of them, quite frankly. And so, yeah, some really cool stuff there. So going away from that to our first actual wrestling topic here for this week here, Carl, kind of going from some positives to a couple of significant negatives, I think would be the best way to kind of word it here. First one up, Finn Balor. He is injured again.
Right.
Damn it. I mean, for a guy as supremely talented as he is, man, he is injury prone. Is it unfair to say that, do you think?
At this point, I don't really think that it is. I mean, it seems to be a consistent thing that continues every time. I mean, going through and winning that Universal Championship and then having to relinquish that the very next night because of injury, and now coming through again here to just coming back from injury, going back to NXT, working some amazing stuff in NXT, absolutely, and then coming up again now to being injured in NXT. The guy cannot catch a break, it seems.
What's the cause of this here, Carl? Do you think it's the overworking of the WWE schedule? Is it the guys maybe being a little too rambunctious in the ring, or is it Finn maybe just kind of dropping the ball himself? What do you think is the cause of this, or is it a combination of all of that?
I don't think that it's really a combination of all of it, because as of right now, the WWE superstars are not being worked as much as they normally have been. Mm-hmm. Normally, they're going out, they're traveling, they're going, you know, town to town, doing shows night after night after night, working anywhere from 5 to 6 nights a week. Yeah. Right now, with COVID stipulations in place, they really are not traveling. So any of this, you know, they're injured because they're overworked stuff really can't be said, because they're not being overworked right now.
True.
Now, is it maybe a case of because they're not going out there and being able to do as many shows and get their face out there to that many more people, are they going a little harder to try to make sure that their name is the name that people remember? That could very well be. Is Finn Balor just getting to the point where his body is just not doing what it should be anymore? That could very well be as well. I don't believe that would be the case. I think really what this is boiling down to is that Finn Balor was on the main roster, brought back down to NXT, yeah, and is now trying to really make that name for himself again and really shine and show that he can do this still, and pushing himself a little bit too hard. I think that is where it boils down to.
I think I could definitely agree with you on that. But going along with that, and what I had originally kind of sent to you about this topic about potentially it being time for him to kind of hang it up here. I mean, this guy since joined the WWE, seemingly right when these pushes are getting ready to happen, or as they're about to be pushed, you know, these significant injuries are happening, and it's been multiple times for this guy. Now, when do you say enough is enough? When do you say, okay, you know what, my health is more important than making money and being somebody in this business? You know, I've already accomplished a lot. You know, do I need to keep pushing the envelope here and keep risking not only serious injury, but possible death?
But for a lot of these guys, what do they know? They know professional wrestling. It's their life. It's in their blood. It's what they do. So it's going to be hard for a lot of people to just kind of say, it's time for me to retire. I did that. I said, it's time for me to retire.
Right.
After going to see my doctor and my doctor saying, wow, you've had a lot of hits to the head, haven't you? And I'm kind of going, yeah, I kind of have. That was kind of a little bit of a breaking point for me there. So I retired out of active competition. Do I still stay in it? Definitely. I'm in it this way. This is pretty cool. Still being able to do podcasts, and who knows, there might be other things that are coming out that might be able to continue to keep me inside the world of professional wrestling. But for these guys, a lot of it is just, this is what they do. This is what they know, and that's it. We take a look at the comment here from Michael Manna. Yeah,
from Stevie. Yep.
There's never been a lighter schedule in the business, yep, and never been so many injuries. How true.
Yep. It's like you had kind of hinted at, it's like they're over kind of compensating and wanting to maybe, you know, they're feeling the push from some of the other companies and feeling that they need to step up their game. That very well could be the case too. And, you know, just with the high pressure demand of the WWE environment, you have Vince overhanging all the time. Just it could be a combination of that wanting to really, really perform, but then worrying about screwing up at the same time.
Right. No. And that's totally, totally a legitimate statement right there. It definitely is. And especially when you're working for the WWE, I mean, it's the biggest conglomerate that's out there for the world of professional wrestling. I would say maybe 5-10 years ago, we could have really said that's the place that everybody wants to be. Nowadays, I don't think that statement really holds true, but it still is that top tier.
Sure.
So if somebody really wants to make it in the world of professional wrestling, their goal is to make it to the WWE. Mm-hmm. That's just been something that's always been there. And it's almost a stigma that's there that you haven't really made it until you've gone to the WWE. I think that's why we've seen such names like AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, you know, Daniel Bryan, you know, names like those kind of make their way over to the WWE when a contract has been available for them, because that's the top of the top. So yeah, you really have to make sure that you're performing, because if you don't, you're going to get lost in the shuffle of the, you know, enormous amount of talent, mm-hmm, that is in the business working. So, I mean, you kind of have to push yourself as much as you can.
And what's interesting when you look at, you know, because I do watch quite a bit of New Japan Pro Wrestling now. I think that's no kind of mystery to our regular listeners and viewers out there. No. That's really what I've kind of latched onto recently. You know, they're busier than WWE. They're putting on more shows, and we don't hear about injuries, Carl. And these guys are working a stronger style. So is it a matter of, you know, are these injuries happening and we're not knowing? Or are they just able to do it safer just because... one of the main reasons is, you know, you don't have that overbearing, you know, not necessarily the one person, but just the pressure of working for the top company. There's a lot of factors at play here. And for Finn specifically, though, the injuries are starting to pile up. And just I fear that if he pushes his luck too far, that, you know, that means that he may not be able to go elsewhere. You know, New Japan was where that was his real kind of bread and butter, you know, essentially starting the Bullet Club over there, being their leader. And with things kind of the way that the landscape is there right now, it's almost prime for somebody like him to kind of go back there. But again, you know, the money is such a strong pull, such a strong draw with the WWE. It's got to be obviously it's a main motivator, right?
I mean, definitely. Still. It would have to be a main motivator, right? Like, I mean, that's obviously going to be one of the big things is the motivation of money. Definitely.
For sure. All right, man. Well, moving on from that to a little bit more WWE stuff here. And when I saw this here, Carl, and I saw the return of this guy before he put up the graphic, I was like, oh, okay. But then at the same time, I'm like, I wonder. And then guess what had happened? So throw up the graphic here. Lars Sullivan returning to the WWE with a fresh look. He has a beard that's a different color than his head. It looks a little strange. It looks kind of Rusev-ish, sort of. I don't know if they're trying to copy there or whatever, but I mean, this guy had some issues in his previous run and kind of disappeared for a little while. And honestly, before we get to the bulk of the topic here, I was surprised that he wasn't part of some of those releases that were a while ago, just given the baggage and just the history and the PR issues with this guy. I was really, really surprised that they kept him here, Carl. And now he's been back for a day or two, and already we've got problems.
We have very, very big problems.
Yes.
For those of you that don't know, Lars Sullivan, before when he kind of took his little hiatus, very much so was in heat for some homophobic statements, racial statements, sexist statements, just a lot of different off the wall kind of weird statements that he was making. Yeah. You got your finger up like you're wanting to say something.
And then going along with that, the real interesting thing with that is with all the homophobic and the anti-gay statements, then it comes to light that he was involved in doing gay pornography, which then led to that whole issue. But then, you know, again, we have a little bit of a double standard kind of going on here, Carl. You know, we have Lars, you know, it's obviously come to light that he was involved in doing this. You say what you will about it. But, you know, when we look at precedents, right, we look at China, right? She did pornography over there, and she was basically chastised by the WWE. You know, she likely won't get into the Hall of Fame and all that kind of stuff. But yet we bring this guy back, and then on top of that that issue, then already we have another PR disaster on our hands here. Dude, they got to cut this guy loose as soon as possible. You know, nothing against the wrestler Lars Sullivan. You know, I think that he was kind of an intimidating presence in the ring. I was like, really, the way that they shot him in the ring, had some impressive matches. But I mean, just personal wise and just stuff kind of going on, there's just too much here to overcome.
There definitely is. For those of you that aren't aware, right now, what the big thing with Lars Sullivan is that he has, I guess, taken to, I believe it was Instagram, it looked like, and commenting on females' Instagram stories, talking about their rears, talking about their legs and how beautiful they are and wrap around and, you know, all of this different, like, just very sexualized talk going around all of this. And one of them called him out and said, hey, like, you know, that's not what I'm here for. I'm married, whatever. Like, I'm a fitness model, fitness person, whatever. Yep. Like, you shouldn't be, you know, saying those comments. It kind of died down for a while and then resurfaced once again. And, so all of that has actually been sent to screenshots of conversations have all been sent to different media sites out there. So, you can definitely find it out there online right now. And you've got those that are saying, you know, wow, what an ass. That's him. Definitely. You got some that are going, oh no, it's a fake account. That's not him. Whatever the case, that shouldn't be done at all. Whether it's his real account or whether it's a fake fan account or whatever. Like, either way, shouldn't be done. Come on.
I mean, this guy, he could literally be one of the top heels in the company right now. You know, he has that look, has that presence, you know, can work like a heel wrestler should. Mm-hmm. But damn it, Carl, he can't get out of his own way. Like, you just see man, like when you're in a position like this, like if you're going to do questionable stuff, you got to be able to hide it better. That's one thing. That's another thing. When we compare modern day wrestling and wrestling when we first started watching, there was probably just as much kind of BS kind of going on, but they were good at hiding, keeping things secret. Wrestlers nowadays, man, they just, it's, and social media and all this kind of stuff is obviously a factor here, but these guys can't keep any kind of secret, anything under their hat whatsoever.
Definitely not. Social media is exposes exactly you, the problem right there. You. I mean, being able to go out there and, you know, like if you want to do something like that, damn it, use a fake account.
Right.
Make a fake account for yourself as somebody different if that's, you know, something that you want to do. But if you're somebody who is in the spotlight, especially in, you know, this type of a setting here where, as you can see behind him, that's the Thunderdome. There are, you know, a ton of people that are on those screens that are watching this and seeing him, plus everybody that's sitting at home and watching as well. Plus, the internet is available to say, hey, Lars Sullivan came back. And then to have a day later it come out that Lars Sullivan is, you know, just a creeper on female profiles. Yeah.
Because the other big issue
here, downfall, dude.
Because the other big issue here is with the WWE is if they let this guy stay, if they let him continue, that sets a very dangerous precedent going forward. Because once you allow something like this to kind of go on, you then lose the ability to do anything about to anybody else. Because because if somebody else does something questionable, like, and then they go to get disciplined for whatever, how come he gets away with it? You just see,
that's right.
It just, again, that's where the dangerous precedence gets sent there. So, I mean, you got to send a message with this guy, and it's nothing personal. Like, I have no personal beef with Lars. Carl doesn't, and I'm sure none of our listeners or viewers do either. But in this kind of situation, you have to be, you got to cut this guy loose. You have no option.
Yeah. I mean, at this point you really don't. I mean, this is just PR disaster at its finest right now.
And just at a really bad time, too.
Yeah. Hugely bad time, especially his return. And then a day later, like, I mean, we can't stress that enough. I don't know how long ago all of these were done. If these were done 3-4 years ago, then this should have been brought out 3-4 years ago.
Sure.
Why wait until somebody makes a return to now bring this out? Right. That I think is bad on somebody else's part. Now they're just trying to take spotlight from spotlight, which I think is wrong. If this was something that happened a while ago, it should have been brought out then. Don't wait. Don't wait. If this is something that's happened, bring it out right away. Bring it out right away.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then something like this would never have happened, where we would see a return and then see all of this. And then, you know, I mean, it wouldn't have given us a topic for today, which would have been okay, because there's lots of stuff that we could have talked about.
Yep.
But this is something that if you were looking to destroy this person, destroy them when it happened, to make sure that your voice is heard. Right. That's all I'm saying is. These people that want to come out and start bringing this stuff out after they've gone back into the limelight, maybe you should have done it before, because if this was recent, good for her. Yeah. I'm happy about that then. Definitely. Again, do I want to see somebody's career go down the tubes? Definitely not. You know, the guy, you know, worked well in the ring. Wasn't, you know, really that bad of a professional wrestler, had that look to him, you know, stuff like that, kind of reminiscent of like Gene Snitsky, right? Sure. Like, yeah, you know, and Gene Snitsky was a good character that got over with people, kind of the same thing, right? And it's just unfortunate that this has happened at all. Like we've said, this really should never, ever, ever happen.
I would be curious to know if that is the case, because it definitely can affect things here, because the scenario that you laid out there, you know, of this being something that happened a while ago and then just being brought light to now, you know, that brings in the whole Me Too thing, and, you know, that's been going a lot, not just in the wrestling business, but in other businesses as well. It's been something that's been fairly commonplace. So yeah, I would be interested to know if that is the case. And regardless of the timing, though, I mean, just it's something that, again, it's just another potential PR disaster the WWE needs to shut down while they have the chance to save face, especially right now with COVID going on. You know, we're trying to put on this positive face, trying to uplift people. We're trying to provide them with entertainment to in an uplifting way, not in a negative kind of way. So something like this, it just goes against all that. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about something positive here then. Mm-hmm. Something that's going to be a positive for our friend Michael Jargo.
Yes.
We're going to pull up the G1 Climax.
Mm-hmm.
And here, look at where Yano is now.
Yes. Nowhere near the top.
Oh my goodness. We were thinking for a while that Yano was going to be going all the way through with this crazy, gimmicky comedy character that he has. Turns out, doesn't look like it will be so much now as we're looking at Block B, number 7, Toru Yano.
Yep.
You know, 3 wins, 4 losses now with 6 points. So,
yep.
Yeah, I was kind of getting worried for a while. I'm like, you know what? This will be bad, but this will be so good just to hear Jargo rant.
Even some of these guys for the dental list, you know, like your Jeff Cobbs, like Ishii, like Tanahashi, Yano, even Juice, Zack Sabre, some of these guys a little further down. Everybody's had an opportunity to shine, and even a lot of these guys in losses have still looked really, really good. And one thing with this too, you know, I have tried to, you know, I haven't watched any full WWE shows this week, but I mean, I have watched some segments and some clips to kind of still kind of keep track of kind of what's going on here. How these shows have been set up, we have a Young Lion match, and basically we have about three or four Young Lions, and they've just been kind of flip-flopping back and forth and having matches, especially Yota Tsuji and Gabriel Kidd. And Uemura. Essentially, those three guys have been kind of going back and forth. And some of these Young Lion matches, Carl, have outshined main event WWE matches. That is really saying something, and may seem like a bit of an overstatement, but I don't really think so. You know, these guys have been putting on that curtain jerker match to get you hooked in, but they don't outshine the rest of the card. It accomplishes exactly what it's supposed to do.
That's fantastic. Been a constant, though.
Yep.
I mean, that's for anybody that's watched New Japan Pro Wrestling over the years, I mean, that's been a constant. Mm-hmm. Anytime that the Young Lions are out there, they're all vying essentially for a position within the company, New Japan Pro Wrestling. They're working to make a name for themselves. And of course, they're going to go out there and just put on a great show for the people to kind of have the people start to get behind them. If the people start getting behind them, then management is going to start taking a closer look,
yeah.
Right? And you're right. They are so intricate with what they do and how they do it. And they go out there and they put on a star-studded performance, but yet they're not outshining the main card, which is odd.
Yeah.
Very, very odd to say that a curtain jerker...
Right.
Is, you know, doing so well,
yep.
But not outshining the main card. Like, wow.
And looking at the main card here, these individuals actually involved in the tournament, I mean, everybody, and I mean everybody, has stepped up. It's like somebody at the top of the company or somebody lit a fire under the ass of every single individual involved in this tournament for everybody to step in. Everybody has. And ones that I didn't even expect have really, really stepped up and really legitimately impressed me. Guys like Yoshihashi, Tai Chi, Shingo, Takagi especially. I mean, and Ishii, just to name a few, these guys have just stepped up their game. And even when they lose, they look fantastic. It's incredible to watch. And one thing that I will say before we kind of break down the standings a little bit here, Carl, one thing that I think in New Japan that they do really, really well, to start with the Young Lions, there's been quite a few times in these matches where there's like a quote unquote botch or something bad is going to kind of happen. But one thing that they do so well here, Carl, is that they either quickly transition into something else or they just move on. Whereas like in North American wrestling, WWE, AEW, I'm including especially both of them, whether they miss a spot and you see either they try and repeat the spot right away or somebody that will stand there and then they'll try and like reset and then pull the move off again. It looks really, really bizarre. In Japan, you don't see that. And it's really, really impressive and it's really cool to watch that these guys are able to adapt on the fly and go, okay, you know what? There's a little bit of a mistake here. Let's just flow into something else and then it looks natural and you hardly even notice that there was a mistake made. These guys are so professional. And when you get up to the higher level here, you know, the guys like Ospreay and Cobb and Tanahashi, these guys all make little mistakes, but they're able to just pick up on the fly, move on to the next thing, and you hardly notice that a mistake was made. It's really impressive to watch as a long-time wrestling fan here, Carl. It's really something to see.
It definitely is, and it's something that is, you're right, lacking within North American wrestling. Yep. You hit it right on the head there when you talked about the WWE and even AEW. I mean, everybody knows that I'm a fan of AEW, but yep. Still, even there, they have that North American wrestling feel to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it very much so is a point where, yeah, if a botch happens, it's kind of like action stops.
Yeah.
And like you have to like, okay, yeah, let's go back into that now, right? Like it's very weird to watch. It's almost like having an MMA fight and then, you know, somebody, taking a, trying for a roundhouse kick and misses. And then everybody just kind of stops and goes, oh, wait. Okay, let's try that again. right? Like, no, that wouldn't happen, right? Yeah. And I think that that's a, I understand, you know, North America, we've got more sports entertainment, and whereas over in New Japan, we've got more professional wrestling, and I think that that's really a big part of where you see the divide in professional wrestling and sports entertainment is right there.
It's really, especially for somebody like myself, you know, maybe the average viewer maybe doesn't pick up on this, but for myself, and I know you would too, and you know, a lot of our partners and everything that we're involved with, it's really, really jarring when you see that in WWE or AEW, where you see a move gone bad and they're either waiting to try and do it again or try and pick it up. And then you look at these guys, these smooth operators over in Japan, where just a little bit of a slip happens. We pick up on the fly and we move on. We do something else. We don't try and repeat that same and then potentially make a mistake again. It's something that I think needs to be adapted even to the North American style. If we really want to, because we're again, I brought this up before, you know, we're at risk, especially in North America here, of losing touch with people and getting people interested in professional. A lot of people are falling off or we're just not able to draw new fans. I think this kind of approach and adapting that little bit of the Japanese style, I think could really interest some people who are really interested in that pure sports kind of presentation. Because when you see these spots go bad, it really stands out, especially if you have a discerning eye. It's really, really noticeable.
Yes. So, no, you're 100% correct.
So yeah. I'm hoping that, especially WWE, I'm pointing my finger mainly at you. You need to adapt this, and I think that could then elevate you. But to get back to the G1 here, Carl, it's really shaping up. It's really interesting. And the two names at the top are not really any surprise. It's very possible that we could see these two guys in the final, Naito and Ibushi. And if that's the case, oh boy, these guys are gonna try and kill each other.
Well, I mean, let's even just take kind of the top four here, Ibushi, Naito, Jay White, and Evil. Yep. Right? Like, I mean, my word, all four of those guys are just fantastic at what they do. You know, given each one of them have only had two losses. Right. And then we over in the A block, you've even got Will Ospreay as well as Okada. Right. And all of them have 10 points. So it's A block. It really is going to be one that that you're going to have to watch very, very closely, because it could really go who knows what way.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with, you know, how close it is within that top four. B block still, even itself, very, very close. Goto with 8, Sonata with 8 points, Zack Sabre Jr. with 8 points as well.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean, it could go really any way as well there. So, I mean, it's something that that still we're just continuing to really watch very closely, because this has just been fantastic. I mean, if you haven't seen anything, even just go and try to find the highlights. Check out the highlights of this. And, yeah, like, it's just been fantastic. And, yeah. I don't know if it's still too early to tell, but, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking at North American versus a somebody from Japan. So I really wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing Jay White or Will Ospreay, more of a North American names going up against Naito or Evil.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah,
could be. Before we take our break here, though, I want to make a bit of a bold statement here that I think is going to surprise a lot of people. Maybe even surprise you here, Carl. I would think, pretty widely in the wrestling business, I think a lot of people have been saying MJF is probably one of the best heels in the business, right? I'm going to totally disagree with that statement. And there is somebody that is on this graphic right now that I feel is actually the best heel in the business. And we're talking the guy who's in second place in that A block. We're talking Jay White. He, in my personal opinion, and there are a lot who agree with me, and I know our friend Mr. Michael Jargo, I believe, agrees with me as well, that man is the single best heel working in professional wrestling today. And in the ring, he's absolutely fantastic as well. This guy over in Japan right now, okay, you're not allowed to actually cheer. If you actually cheer, you will be removed from the building. That's why everybody has been clapping. They're trying to keep things fairly neutral. This guy even goes as far as trying to get people to cheer to get them kicked out. This guy is the perfect heel in professional wrestling, and he backs it up in the ring. He makes it so you absolutely despise him. There's nothing redeemable about Jay White whatsoever as a character. It's absolutely fantastic to watch this guy, and he's still young, Carl. This guy has an absolutely fantastic future, regardless of where he goes. If he ends up in the WWE or what have you. I mean, this guy has the potential just to be something of really some significance coming up in the near future, on top of what he already has been.
That's right.
It's amazing.
What's nice with Jay White is that Switchblade. Jay White. What's really nice about him is that he really doesn't have to use his voice to get that heel coming out. He just has to do these little things in the ring while he's working his opponent or working the crowd to really kind of bring all together the combination of using his voice as well as, you know, the in-ring working, whether work the opponent or the crowd, and really meld it together like a beautiful s'more. And yes, you are correct. One of the best, if not the best, heel in the business right now.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a brief break here, and let's hear from our friends over at Collar and Elbow, and then we will come back with a little bit of breaking news.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The wrestling brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
Dictionary defines hero as a person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. Being a hero in life is far more than words printed on a page. It takes an unwavering code, a compass that points true north, always. And in times like these, it takes sacrifice. Hero shouldn't be a word defined by a dictionary. It's a word that should be defined by the best of us. Hero has a new definition.
All right, guys, Big Joe and Carl Carefield back here on Turnbuckle Talk. And as you saw, our friend Al Snow over at ColorEbelBrand.com, where if you use promo code JKPODCAST, you can get 10% off all of the amazing stuff that they have over at that store. Carl's usually wearing some of their merchandise. I usually am as well, if not here. Actually, he's wearing the hat right now. He's always wearing that thing. But there's always fantastic stuff there. If you are a professional wrestling fan, that there's so much cool stuff in that store is unbelievable.
There definitely is, and I mean, right now, especially with Halloween coming up, they do have their metal tee still available that looks kind of Halloweenish. The Ouija board shirt as well, that one definitely is there too. So I mean, awesome stuff from Collar and Elbow Brand. I love their stuff. I really do. I'm hoping soon to maybe have a little bit of extra money to be able to order myself a couple new things. I'm looking at possibly the animal t-shirt, the animal tribute t-shirt, as well as maybe they have kind of a like a fall jacket there. The gray and black fall jacket. I've always really liked the look of that thing. So maybe in time, a couple extra bucks, maybe I'll be able to get it.
Cool. All right, man, let's move on to some breaking news, because there is one as a really real whopper. I'm almost kind of speaking over myself, or just, we'll just get to it. Breaking news. Here we come. All right, Carl, the unthinkable has happened. We talked before how it was all red, everything for one period of time there. Well, guess what? It's about to get that way again. Eva Marie, I believe it is confirmed now. She's actually re-signed with the WWE. Oh, God, I hope it's not in the ring, Carl. I hope it's not in the ring. She's nice to look at. She's nice to look at. Don't get me wrong. As a heterosexual male wrestling fan, it is pleasing to look at. But in that ring, good God almighty, she's awful.
From my understanding, it is inside the ring.
Damn it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she talked a while ago about, you know, having, you know, like unfinished business, I guess you could say, within the world of professional wrestling. But, yeah, to my understanding, this is legitimate. She will be back, and honestly, it could even be as early as tonight.
Wow. What do you think, man? Do you like this move? Because I think it's pretty obvious that I'm not digging it.
I don't know, man. For me, it's a question of why. They have so much talent already on the roster within the women's division that why the need to now bring in Eva Marie? The only thing that I can kind of speculate on is maybe they're looking to put a new tag team together. We have a returning Carmella, right?
Yeah.
And maybe bring in a returning Eva Marie and have that red and gold or something like that. I don't know. I mean, other than that, I really don't see a reason for this to happen.
My greater issue here, and I'm hopefully possibly kind of speaking on behalf of a lot of the talent that was released of late or last little while, they have got to be thinking, what the hell is going on? Because a lot of these ones that were released, you can make a strong argument that they were far better than her, you know, not only in look and in ring ability and whatnot. They got to be thinking, what happened here? There's got to be some nepotism or some favorism going on here. There has to be. After a lot of the releases that happened, for her to be somebody who's brought back, it's a real head scratcher for me, Carl. I don't quite understand what's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly really don't understand it as well. It's a very odd move right now, especially to bring her back. She really hasn't been in the spotlight for anything, whether it's been her fitness stuff or her whatever that she's been doing on her own outside of the WWE. Whether it's, you know, I don't believe that any of the movies that she's been in with, like, Nicolas Cage or Bruce Willis or anything like that, which is legitimate, she has been. I don't believe that any of those are, like, new coming out to help promote those. So it honestly is a real head scratcher right now as to why this has actually happened. So,
and we have the other added issue too. Again, we're still dealing with COVID-19. We're still dealing with this pandemic. You know, they've had kind of a set number of people kind of working here in a controlled environment. We're testing, making sure that everything's kind of copacetic there. Now we're going to throw in this individual who's been on kind of the outside. We're going to bring them in. You run a bit of a risk there, and not necessarily saying that she's infected, but I mean, you've had that controlled environment kind of going. Now, if you're going to start kind of throwing more people in here that haven't been around, I mean, you haven't been getting tested all that often, you run the possibility of having some problems, Carl. And that's another issue with this that I think is kind of maybe not being talked about.
I would have to agree.
Right.
Definitely. I mean, they better make sure that with all of this that's been going on, they better make sure that she's getting tests and is fully clear and clean to be able to come in, because you're not going to want to run the risk of, you know, her coming in and there being any type of infection that happens or any type of pandemic that comes along with her coming into the company again, right?
And to throw another thing into there, we've had her, she's been out of action for a long time. There's going to be some ring rust. There's going to be some issues. Even somebody you're a big fan of that made a move over to AEW, Eva Lise. I mean, she had been kind of action for quite a while. And one of those matches recently was she was clearly having a hard time not knowing what kind of was going on. There was some pretty bad botches and some stuff that happened in that match that she was particularly guilty of. And so, I mean, we run that risk as well, right? Bringing somebody who's a little low on experience and had maybe, you know, hopefully maybe, you know, maybe she'll prove me completely wrong and maybe she's been training and working hard and I would be the first to praise her and acknowledge it. But just, it seems like a really questionable move at one of the most questionable times in this company's history.
Yes.
Just to say the least.
Yeah.
All right, man, let us move on unless you have some.
No, we're not moving on yet.
Carl's got some breaking news. What do you got?
That's right. So I'm going to pull it up on screen here for everyone as soon as I get this this mouse pulled over here. And share this screen with everybody. I want to give everybody an update on the Jericho Cruise that I and my spouse will be attending in October of next year, 2021. Yeah, so a new guest has been announced. So as you can see here, Triple Whammy, Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, October 21st, 21 to 25 in 2021. So the Master of Ceremonies we're looking at is Chris Jericho, obviously. But the newest guest that has been announced.
Wow.
Mr. Kurt Angle.
Interesting.
Will be on the Jericho Cruise. This is shaping up to be really, really beautiful right now. We're looking, Kurt Angle is going to be there. As you can see, Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase is going to be there. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Bully Ray has once again confirmed that, yes, he will be there. And I'm kind of hoping that Jamie's going to be there as well with Bully Ray. Hmm. If you guys don't know who Jamie is, take a look behind me right here. Miss Velvet Sky. I'm hoping that she's going to be along with him as well. And then Dean Malenko.
Interesting.
So, I mean, just fantastic names here. The official cruise host is going to be Brad Williams.
Interesting.
Right? Cool. I like and that one. Then, go ahead.
I like that one. I would just, yeah.
Right?
Very cool.
The cruise director, the guest cruise director is going to be Candice Michelle. Interesting. So again, somebody that I haven't met, and I'm hoping that within the halls of the cruise ship that I do get to meet her. I did get to meet Vicky Guerrero that way, snap a photo with her. She was fantastic. Her and her husband were there. They were coming out of the casino as we were going into the casino. And that was fantastic. And then the music is all going to be there. We got the Vaudettes coming back and returning, which That's is cool. very cool. And then Kate Quigley, we've got for the comedy right now.
Nice.
But they do say more to be announced, which is going to be fantastic. So I am super excited for this cruise, and especially that we got the names that we do, especially Kurt Angle. Like, I'm stoked about that.
Very cool. And just to briefly mention before we go to our Match of the Week segment, the man responsible for all this, Mr. Chris Jericho, just want to make a brief mention. 30 years in the professional wrestling business here, Carl. That is no short. That is quite the feat, and something that not too many people can say, you know, that they have spent 30 years. Again, 30 years wrestling, actively wrestling in the professional wrestling business. That is an accomplishment to be proud of, sir.
And we do not get any money for this, but I do want to plug Chris Jericho's book for everybody. Go in and even just Google Chris Jericho new book. It looks fantastic. So something that Chris Jericho has done is he has actually written down every single matchup that he has had. He has kept a log of every matchup that he's had. So he compiled it all into a book. And for those of you that go and decide that you want to pre-order that book, you are going to get an extra special type of podcast where he actually went and talked about some of these different matches as picked by us, the fans. So that is very cool. I am very happy to see that. And I might be pre-ordering that book.
Nice. Very cool. All right. Let us move to our Match of the Week segment. All right, guys, as it has kind of become tradition here, I will let Carl go first this week here with his match of the week, and we will see if we ever repeat again. It's been a while since we've actually repeated, and since there's quite a bit going on, I have a feeling they're going to be different this week.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that they are going to be different. My pick this week is actually coming from something that seems to be kind of flying under the radar right now, which... People, make sure that you are not missing out on this. We're talking the Ring of Honor Pure Championship title tournament. We had a kind of semifinal match going on between Jay Lethal and David Finlay. Fantastic matchup. I was able to watch that today, and I was just blown away. I couldn't even my phone vibrated several times. I didn't even look at my phone because I was intent on watching this matchup. So very, very good matchup. And of course, I mean, Jay Lethal always puts on a good show. David Finlay is a fourth generation professional wrestler. Wow, right? Yeah. Fourth generation. And both guys went out there, put on a fantastic matchup. And if you haven't seen anything from this Ring of Honor Pure Championship tournament, I'm sure it's out there on YouTube or, you know, it's out there somewhere available for you. Go and check it out. ROH Club, even. Go and subscribe to ROH Club. Yeah. And it's available there for you too. You could watch all of it in its entirety. My match of the week, Jay Lethal versus David Finlay within the ROH Pure Championship Tournament.
Very cool. Some good stuff there. Mine is coming from New Japan Pro Wrestling, coming from the G1 Climax. This is the G1 Climax 30, by the way. And mine is coming from Night 13, which took place on October 10th at the Osaka Prefectural Gymnasium over there in Osaka. And we're talking the matchup between Kota Ibushi and Minoru Suzuki. This was absolutely incredible. This is what wrestling needs to be everywhere to get it to the prestige that it needs to be again. Go find a way to watch this match. I don't even care if you find a way to watch it illegally. Go find a way to go watch this. It is absolutely fantastic. These guys put on a clinic in a classic Minoru Suzuki style. Even after getting beat, the guy is laying there just pouring with sweat, and you can tell just completely exhausted with a big smile on his face, just getting the piss beat out of him and just beating the piss out of Kota Ibushi. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. Great psychology throughout the match. You know, they start off in kind of like an MMA kind of style and then go into some actual professional wrestling kind of stuff and then just slapping the piss out of each other at one point. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. You have to go. If you are a self-respecting professional wrestling fan, you need to go find a way to watch this. Carl, if you haven't watched this, I got to send you a link, and I'm going to send you some weight so you can watch this when you possibly get the time, because you need to watch this match. It was absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. Whew, that felt good. I kind of want to go watch it actually after we're done recording. It was absolutely it was that great. You know, the last time I felt this hyped about a match here, Carl, legitimately with this here, was when Nakamura made his debut in WWE with Sami Zayn. This is the last time I was this excited about a match. And when after it happened, I watched it like back to back to back to back to back to back to back. That's going to happen again with this. I'm going to watch it probably like 20 times. So incredible. All right, man, we're going to take a brief break here. Let's hear from our friends over at thechairshot.com, and we'll come back with our showstopper segment for this week.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, guys, Big Joe and Carl Careful back here. Let us go to our showstopper segment for this week. All right, guys, so the showstopper segment for this week was inspired by the return episode of Destino that Jargo put on this past week here. And he had mentioned a dream matchup scenario that immediately when I heard him talking about it, I was like, my ears kind of like perked up, you know, the hair stood in the back of my head, like every kind of thing like that. Just it really interested me. And this is a hypothetical dream matchup between John Cena and Tanahashi, Hiroshi Tanahashi. Is this, just kind of between us here, Carl, is this a matchup that would kind of pique your, is this a matchup you would pay to see, first of all?
I don't think that I would.
Really?
To be honest. I want to be perfectly honest with everybody out there.
Okay.
The contrasting styles are way too different. That's where I'm coming from. John Cena is a North American sports entertainer, whereas Tanahashi is a professional wrestler. Now, we have in the past seen John Cena actually do some good work in a professional wrestling standpoint, but it's been overshadowed by the sports entertainment five moves of doom that he does on a consistent basis every time that he was in the ring. And I don't really know that he would be able to really hang with Tanahashi or be able to really do what is needed to make a good matchup. That's it. Now, could Tanahashi maybe dumb down a little bit to some sports entertainment? Possibly, but that's, again, going against the grain and really not his style. So, yeah, it's difficult to be able to really say, yes, this would be a fantastic dream match just because of that factor, for me, at least.
For myself, with this, you know, with this kind of thing, I really kind of tried to delve into it and kind of look at, you know, even trying to look in history. And as I've said before, not only professional wrestling, but in other things, history tends to repeat itself. And what I'm getting at with this is I'm going back to Hulk Hogan with his time spent in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and specifically a matchup with the great Muda. Now, at that point, a lot of people kind of would have been sort of 50-50 on Hogan. You know, Hogan would put on that kind of North American style match. But when he went over and worked with Muda over New Japan, he not only had to work, they made him work. And Muda made him work, made him wrestle in that match. And I think that if this matchup, I think if it was specifically if it were to happen, I think this is critical, if it were to happen in Japan under the New Japan Pro Wrestling banner, that not only would John Cena do well, he would be forced to adapt to that kind of style. And I think that history would repeat itself. I think that he is more than capable of hanging with Tanahashi. And I think that he's the right person to do it with, because Tana would make Cena work with him on that. So again, I would see history repeating itself. And I think that this would be a big money draw match, Carl. This would be tremendous.
Definitely, I agree. Name wise, having the two of those as competitors against each other would draw money. Definitely, it would.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, again, we're looking at, can John Cena do it? Because John Cena has been essentially programmed to be that robotic five move guy within, you know, the company. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think it would be a very hard stretch for John Cena to be able to do that. And I think that we would, we really wouldn't get to see John Cena at his finest if they were to just have this one matchup. Now, if they were to throw John Cena over into New Japan Pro Wrestling for a little while, let's say a good 3 months, and have him working some people over there first to build up to this marquee matchup, then possibly I could see that. But to just have a one-off of this match between the two of them, honestly, I think John Cena would fail.
I think that the key would be of pitching it as like a co-main event or you know, just below co-main event status at Wrestle Kingdom. And I think that if you... Personally, some people might disagree with me on this, and I think you would have to use the early kind of version of John Cena. You know, I'm talking like the OVW John Cena. I'm talking the wrestler John Cena. You know, even if you want to start off with one of his earlier characters, like more like kind of like the Thugonomics, more like the heel type of John Cena, I think then you might really have something there. But I think building it up as a marquee kind of Wrestle Kingdom thing, I really think that you'd really have something there that I think would even interest North American fans.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It definitely would. Yeah. It definitely would interest even North American fans. I just fear that John Cena wouldn't be able to adapt properly.
Mm-hmm.
If it were just a one-off matchup, that's something that he's going to have to get back into, as opposed to going out there, like I said, and just having those few moves that he does and already being over with the crowd and everybody loving him and him going out there, doing his couple of moves, getting a good pop, and then everybody goes home happy. It's a totally different environment over in New Japan. And I think that really that it would be cool to see. Definitely it would. But I think we would definitely be seeing John Cena fail. And that's... I don't want to see that. As much as I'm not a huge John Cena fan, he's cool. He's, good with the kids and the people love him. Definitely. Like, all of that's fantastic. He was great for professional wrestling, or he was great for sports entertainment over the years. Definitely he has been. But to shift over into a pro wrestling type of environment, especially with such hard hitting action as you have over in New Japan Pro Wrestling, I think it's really going to take a little bit more than just a one match for John Cena to be able to get up to the level that he needs to be.
All right. Well, let me flip this around a little bit for you to kind of end things off here. I want to get to one more thing just briefly afterwards. To flip this around then, if not John Cena, who would you put in his spot to have like a dream matchup of like a known WWE person and Mr. Tanahashi? Because let's be honest here, it's getting close probably to the end of the career for this guy. And I think bringing in somebody like that to have that dream kind of matchup is right up his alley. Who would you use?
Somebody like either Finn Balor or AJ Styles.
Interesting.
Almost more of like a pass of the torch type of situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, both of those guys. And I mean, I know at the very beginning we talked about Finn Balor kind of being, getting injured and stuff like this. But I mean, both of those guys know how to work the New Japan Pro Wrestling style.
Mm-hmm.
They both can do that. Even a Samoa Joe. I could see something like that because they can work that style. They've gone through over the years doing that, whether it was with Impact or whether it was with Ring of Honor or whether it was even over in New Japan, even a Daniel Bryan, somebody like that, or a Bryan Danielson, even a name like that. But to have the huge name of John Cena, who is known for just going out there and doing his couple of quick things. So, I mean, taking somebody else who can actually work that style, I think it would be a better name because it's going to make for a better matchup.
Keeping it kind of in line with the Cena stuff, because like I said, I like the Cena approach, and I think it could work really well done properly. But I think even better, to be even a bigger draw, if you really want to capitalize on the momentum that this guy has, especially recently, and has for quite a while, one of those murky ones kind of in that same vein, we're talking Dwayne Johnson. We're talking The Rock. If you could do something with him versus Tanahashi, then you could really kind of set the professional wrestling world on fire. And then not only, Carl, you kind of revive the interest of some people that have maybe kind of distanced themselves away from professional wrestling. You draw in that non-wrestling audience into this as well with him. So I think if you really wanted to really kind of go over the top with this, and this would require some collaboration with WWE and New Japan, I mean, you would have something that would just be off the charts.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely could.
The Rock, okay, in Tokyo Dome or something like that with that Japanese audience. I mean, they would just, dude, that place would just go nuts for him. Go absolutely nuts.
Yep, they would. They would. I mean, they would go nuts the same with John Cena, too.
Yeah.
They definitely would. Again, The Rock, how long has he been out, though?
True.
Right? And The Rock was even known, like he could wrestle. Don't get me wrong. He definitely could. But he was known for his few things that he could do as well.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's kind of what, they've been kind of delegated down to is just being able to perform these, few simple moves that they've got. To be able to win over the crowd and make everybody go home happy. The Rock has done different styles of wrestling. Yes, he definitely has. So could that work? Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. It's possible. Money-wise and draw-wise, that would be huge. Yep. It definitely would be. The Rock just surpassed absolutely everybody in social media.
Everybody.
As being the number one followed person in the world right now. So, I mean, that would be definitely something huge for professional wrestling if that were to happen. So I mean, that would probably be the better way to go about it, is if you want to have a resurgence for professional wrestling from people who are outside of the professional wrestling bubble, then you use somebody like The Rock, who can then put that all out to his social media to really throw that out there to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the brief mentions before we went off here, I wanted to mention in the New Japan side of things, because I think that not only this is something that we kind of hinted at and kind of possibly predicted, and our friend Jargo has as well over there on the HTM side of things. We're talking Shota Umino here, Carl. Now, he's been kind of absent, I believe, kind of partially due to injury, but they've been really keeping kind of quiet about him. I have a sneaking suspicion here, Carl, that our prediction of putting him under the Jushin Thunder Liger mask could be coming to fruition. I think that would be really, really interesting. They really kind of built him up as a young, you know, they have him work with Moxley and these kind of guys. And I think that would be really interesting to put somebody else under that mask. And I think that he's the guy you do it with.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a little bit of time before we actually find out if that is something that's going to actually happen. But I dig it. I dig it. Yeah. Good idea. I dig that one.
Because we've done it with Tiger Mask. We've done it with some of these other ones. And I think that it's such a popular character with the Japanese audience. I think it would be a shame to just let it die out with the one person. And I think, you know, he's young enough now to where you could do a lot with him with it. And I like everything about it. And I'm hoping that if not him, they at least pick somebody that's worthy of it and actually go with that. Because I'm understanding it here. That character is somebody of some big significance in Japan and worldwide. So I'd love to see it kind of live on in somebody else.
Definitely, I would too. You know how I would have loved for that to have gone about? Is just that it was a seamless transition, and that nobody knew that Jushin Thunder Liger was retiring, and then they just kind of put somebody else in there, and they continue to do that over the years, which is going to end up being, wow, Jushin Thunder Liger isn't human at all, because since 1940, he's been, and it's now 2020, people are going to be going, wow.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, people are definitely going to clue in that it's, you know, somebody new that's been coming in and doing it every time, but just for like feels like, ooh, right. Like, but yeah, I mean, for someone else to take over the mask, I think is a good idea as well. Why not let it continue on?
If they do it, I trust them to not go the Hulk Hogan and Mr. America approach, where you could clearly tell that it was him. You know, I trust New Japan to not do something stupid like that. No. But we'll see if it comes to fruition. And I really hope that it does, because I think the New Japan, I think they really need the Liger character there to kind of fill things out.
Definitely.
All right, before we go, we already heard from our friends over at Colorado. Why don't you tell us about our other main sponsor, Phoenix, Carl?
That's right. Phoenix at fnxfit.com. They have got some great supplements over there for all of your health needs. So if you're looking protein, if you're looking pre-workouts, post-workouts, if you're looking for even collagen or testosterone, anything like that, I'm going to give a promo code out to everybody that's listening today. TB Talk Pod is going to get you 15% off your entire order when you go and check out our friends over at Phoenix by searching fnxfit.com.
Yeah, and also just briefly make sure and check out our Shopify as well. As you can see this week, I'm wearing the Turnbuckle Talk there. And you can see the Turnbuckle Talk-Talk shop.myshopify.com. While that's still kind of going, make sure and hit that up and check out what we have there. And also, just a brief mention, our friends over at Microplay here in Brantford, Ontario, Canada. If you go into the store and mention Turnbuckle Talk, they will give you, I believe it was 10% off your first toy purchase in the store. I believe that was the deal that we struck up there. So yeah, mentioned Turnbuckle Talk there, and they will you can get some Amiibos, or you can get some Funko Pops. I mean, they got tons of collectible stuff there on top of the gaming stuff that they have there. It's a very much like a mom and pop kind of video game store there. And especially if you go in there when the manager is working there, the guy is supremely knowledgeable, and he treats you not only like a friend, he treats you like family, and always gives you a good deal, especially if you're training in, use games and whatnot. It's the place to go if you're in this area.
And always, we want to make sure that we thank our friends over at the HTM Podcast Network over at IndiePW.com. And as you heard earlier, our friends at TheChairShot.com as well. Those guys over there at all three of those networks and websites work so hard every day to bring you amazing professional wrestling content. And thankfully, they have allowed us to be part of those networks as well. So again, thank you to the HTM Podcast Network. Thank you to IndiePW.com. And thank you to TheChairShot.com.
Now, before we do wrap up for this week here, Carl, there is one more thing. I'm stealing an Apple tagline there. Come up next week on Turnbuckle Talk, we'll have a very special guest on the podcast. We're talking Mr. Spencer Love will be joining us here. So I'm really looking forward to that, talking to Spencer about some professional wrestling. This guy is really passionate about the professional wrestling business and loves talking about professional wrestling. And that's the kind of guy we want to talk to and have on the program here, Carl. So we're going to have him on. I'm really looking forward to it, and I know you guys are going to dig it.
Awesome. Sounds good.
All right, man. Well, let's wrap it up for this week, and we'll see you on the next one.
Have a nice day.
It's me. It's an honor to be the beat. As you can tell in the background, we are out celebrating. That is what we do here at HittingTheMarks.com. And I invite everyone to continue to tune in to Turnbuckle Talk, but check out all of our other shows. You can find that all at HittingTheMarks.com.
Run. Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.